B'siyata Deshmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Kuf. We're going to start two lines from the bottom of Daf Tzadik Tes Omid Beis. Says the Gemara, Omar Rova, Pshitali, I take it for granted, it's clear to me, Mayim al gabe mayim haynu hanachoson. When you have water resting on top of other water, that's its natural resting place. And Rashi explains, if you have in Roshus HaYochid a pile of water, it can be in a kli, wherever it is, and you take off some water from the top layer of the water, and you do an akira, it's called an akira because it was in its resting place. If it wasn't in a resting place, if it was in transit, and you move it, you start moving it, it's not called an akira. An akira is when you uproot it from its resting place. Since mayim al gabe mayim is called resting, therefore if you take some of this water, even though it's floating on top of the water underneath it, nonetheless, if you take some of that water from the Roshus HaYochid into Roshus HaRabim, it's considered an Akira and is going to be Chayev. Ego is al gabe mayim. However, if you have a nut floating on top of water, lav haynu hanochosam. We do not say that this nut is called in its natural resting place, and therefore lifting up this nut off the water in Roshus HaYochid, taking it into Roshus HaRabim, is not going to be Chayev because he did not do an akira from a stationary place. Continues the Gemara, Boyer Rava. Now Rava asked a question. Ego is bikli. Ukli tzaf al gabe mayim mahu. If you have a nut that is lying inside a vessel, inside a kli, and the kli is floating on top of the water, what's the halacha mahu? Mi omrinon boso ego is oguzlinon vornaich. Do we say, let's look at the nut. The nut is in a natural resting place. It's in a kli. So doing an akira from that kli is called an akira until bichayev. Oidil maboso kli ozlinon. Or do we say, no, look at the kli in which the nut is resting. V'holoi naich. The kli is not resting. It's floating on the water. And therefore, taking the nut off this kli is not considered an akira. And then he will be potur. Teiku. The Gemara does not have a way of resolving that. We have to let this question stand for the moment. Continues the Gemara. Shemen al gabe yayin. If you have oil floating on top of wine, for the same price the Gemara could have said oil floating on top of water, but we'll soon see why the Gemara chose wine, because we're going to speak about Hilchos Truma, and there's no concept of water which is Truma. There is a concept of wine which is Truma. So the Gemara asks, if you have oil floating on top of wine, and then you do an akira, you take some of that oil, is it called an akira? Is it not? That means, do we say that oil floating on top of wine is similar to water on top of water, and it's considered as if it's one body, and it's resting, wherever it's resting in this kli, and it's called an akira? Or do we say no? We say the wine may be resting in the kli, but the oil is not resting, it's floating, and therefore taking some of the oil will not be considered akira. Says the Gemara, Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri v'Rabbonon, this is going to be dependent on another Machlokes Tanoim, Ditnan we learnt in a Mishnah. Shemen of Truma, if we have Shemen oil of Truma, Shetzaf al gabe yayin, and it was floating on top of wine, which is also Truma. V'noga tvul yoim b'shemen, if somebody who's not seriously Tomei, he's been to the mikveh, but he's not yet waited for the end of the day. He's called a tvul yoim. And the halacha is that if a tvul yoim touches truma, then the truma will become posel. It will not become what we call tomei. You're not allowed to eat this truma. But the truma is not tomei enough that it will make some other food item tomei. It will just become posel itself. So if a tvul yoim touches shemen, loi posel elo shemen, it only makes the shemen posel, but the wine underneath it will stay toher, and he's allowed to drink it. If the oil would have become tomei, then the oil which is tomei would have made the wine osa. But according to the Tanakhama, the shemen and the wine are not considered a single entity. It's considered as if it's floating on top, it's not connected, and therefore only the oil becomes tomei or becomes posel and not the wine. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri oimer shneim chibur ze leze. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that the oil that's floating on top of the wine, it's considered as connected to the wine. It's one entity. one entity. So if a tvul yoim touched the oil, the whole mixture is going to become posel. So this machlekes Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Rabbanon will apply also to Hilchas Shabbos. According to the Tanakhama, that we say that the oil is just floating on top of the wine, taking some of the oil on Shabbos will not be called an Akira. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that says that they are both one, in the same way as the wine is in the Kli, so too the oil is in the Kli. And doing an Akira from the oil is considered an Akira. Continues the Gemara Omar Abaya. Boir b'rushus harabim. If you have a pit in the Rushus harabim, amuka asara urachova shmoina. The boir is exactly 8 tfochim wide and it's 10 tfochim deep. Vazorak letoicha machzeles. And you take a machzeles, which is a mat typically made of woven reeds, and you throw such a mat into this pit from the Rushus harabim into a Rishus HaYochid. As we saw before, if it's 10 deep and 4 wide, it's considered a Rishus HaRabim. It's considered a Rishus HaYochid, and therefore throwing from the Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, Chayev he'll be Chayev, and there's no Chiddush about this Halacha. The Chiddush is the next Halacha. Chilka b'machzeles, if he didn't throw the mat into this pit, if he stood up the mat in the center, vertically in the center of this pit, and this pit was exactly 8 tfochim wide. Now that the mat is dividing it, and the area, the width of the mat itself, is taking away from the width of the boyer, so now you have a single boyer, which is sectioned into two, and on each side you have just a little bit less than 4 tfochim wide. Potter is going to be potter. Even though before you put the mat in, this was clearly Rishus HaYochid, but now that you've put the mat, once the mat actually lands on the surface of this boyer, it's actually landing in a boyer which is not anymore considered a Rishus HaYochid. This is associated to the Gemaras we saw before, when whilst you put an object into a Rishus HaYochid, you actually nullify the status of Rishus HaYochid, and that's the question we had before. Abaya said that that such a machzeles is considered bottle to the pit. It's considered as if it's there to stay. You're going to abandon it there. You're going to leave it there, and therefore it nullifies the Rishus HaYochid status of the boyer, and he's going to be potter. And this is similar, or is parallel to what Rabbi Yochanan said earlier regarding the chulya. If you take some earth from outside a boyer, from outside the pit, and you put it into the pit, then since when you're putting the earth into the pit, it now no longer has the required depth of 10 tfachim, Rabbi Yochanan discussed whether that's called a hanocha or not. And Abaya was not discussing throwing earth into a pit, he was discussing putting a mat vertically in the center of the pit and minimizing not its depth, but its width. So the Gemara is now going to explain. La'abaya depshitele de machzeles mevat la'mechitza. As we just saw now, Abaya took it for granted that such a mat actually nullifies the Rishus HaYochid status that the walls of this pit had before the mat was put in. Kolshkein chulya de mevat la'mechitza. According to Abaya, he'll definitely take it for granted that if you're taking earth and pouring it into the pit, that the earth you're now putting in is going to nullify the Rishus HaYochid status of the pit because it's no longer got the required height. And as we said before, it all depends, in contrast to the Dveila that's sticking onto the wall of the Rishus HaRabim, and we said there that the Dveila definitely does not become abandoned to the wall, it doesn't become bottled to the wall, and therefore it does not take away from the 4 amos that we needed there. And the question is just, what's considered bottle? Earth is much more bottle to a pit than a mat. So Rabbi Yochanan discussed about the earth, and Abaya took it for granted that not only the earth, but even a mat is called bottle, and therefore it nullifies the status of Rishus HaYochid. Rabbi Yochanan de miboilei chulya, however, Rabbi Yochanan, who previously in the Gemara asked, what's the status of putting earth from outside the boyer into the boyer? Does it nullify this Rishus HaYochid status? Because now once the earth lands, there's a hanocha, the boyer is no longer 10 tfachim deep. Since he only discussed the earth, Machzeles pshita delei mevat lemechitzta. But it seems to be that Rabbi Yochanan takes it for granted that if you were to put a mat vertically into a boyer, that it does not take away the Rishus HaYochid status, since the level of bittel that a mat has to a boyer is considerably less than the amount that one would abandon some earth to the base of a pit. Continues the Gemara of Omar Abaya. Abaya is now asking another question. Boyer b'Rishus HaRabim amuko asoro rochovo arbo. If you have a boyer in Rosh Hashanah, which has the status of Rosh Hashanah, it's 10 deep and 4 wide, Meleo Maim, but this boyer is full of water. Is it considered a Rosh Hashanah, even though it's full of water, or not? Vezorak letoicho, and somebody throws something, throws a stone from Rosh Hashanah into this pit full of water, says Abai Chayev, he's going to be Chayev. So it's clear that the water does not nullify the status of the boyer. However, mol'o peiris, v'zorak letoicho, potur. If you fill up the pit with produce, and then you throw something from the Rosh Hasharabim into this pit, he's going to be potur, because the pit no longer has the required dimensions. Maitama asks the Gemara, what's the difference whether you fill up the pit with water or with produce? Says the Gemara, mayim lo'y mevatla mechitzta. Water does not nullify the status, the partitions, the dimensions of this boyer that it had before it was full of water, which was 10 deep, 4 wide. Water does not nullify that. Peiris, but produce, however, mevatle mechitzta, they are mevatle the dimensions of the Rosh Hashayochid of this boyer. Tanina mihochi, we saw a brisa to this effect. Hazirik min hayom, if somebody throws an object from the sea, which is a karmelis, leistratia, onto the highway, which is a Rosh Hasharabim, umino astratia, or he throws from the highway, which is a Rosh Hasharabim, leyam, into a karmelis, potter is obviously potter, because you're only chayev if you throw from Rosh Hashayochid into Rosh Hasharabim, or vice versa. Reb Shimon oimer, im yesh b'mokim shezorak, if in the place at sea into which he threw it was omeik asoro v'rocha varbo, and it was 10 deep and 4 tvachim wide, in that case chayev is going to be chayev, even though this ditch into which he threw it from the highway, or from which he threw it to the highway, even though it's full of water, he's at sea, nonetheless it's still considered a rishus hayochid, even though it's full of water. So Reb Shimon is following what Abaya said before, that water does not nullify the status of the pit in which it's being held. Continues the next Mishnah. Hazoirik arba amois bekoisel, if somebody throws something onto a wall for 4 amois in Rosh Hashanah, lemaila me'asara tvachim, if he threw it above 10 tvachim off the ground, kazoirik ba'avir, is like throwing it into the air, it has not had a hanocha on a Rosh Hashanah, and he'll be potter. Lemato me'asara tvachim, if he throws it less than 4 tvachim off the ground, kazoirik ba'aret, is as if he threw it onto the ground, and hazoirik ba'aret arba amois chayev, and we already know that if somebody throws something onto the ground of Rosh Hashanah and it travels 4 amos, he's chayev. Says the Gemara, v'ho lo yinoch. Throwing something at a wall, even if it's less than 10 tvachim off the ground, it has not settled, it's not rested anywhere. It's just bounced off the wall and come back. Why should you be chayev? Omer Rabbi Yochanan b'dvei l'shmeina shaninu, this is the third time we're seeing this. We're talking about a sticky dveila, or cake of figs, and therefore it actually stuck onto the side of the wall, and if it's less than 10 tvachim off the ground, it's called hanocha, and it's hanocha over the airspace, or in the airspace of Rosh Hashanah, and therefore he's chayev. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rav, Omer Rabchia, Zorak lemailo me'asoro, if somebody throws something above 10 tvachim off the ground, v'holcha v'nocha b'choyer kolshehu, and it rested, it landed inside a hole, culture in a small hole in the wall. Says the Gemara, Bonu l'machleikas Reb Meir v'Rabbonon, it's going to depend on a machleikas, Reb Meir and the Chachomim, and we've already seen this previously on Dav Zayin, and the Gemara is going to explain. And before we see this inside, we'll introduce this machleikas as follows. The halacha is that for a door to be chayev mezuzah, it has to be 10 tvachim high, 4 tvachim wide. What happens when you have a doorway which is arched. It means it's four tefachim wide, but as it gets closer to the top of the doorway, it actually curves in. And then towards the top of the doorway, it's not four tefachim wide. Does one have to put a mezuzah on such a doorway or not? So that's a machlokes. And what they're going to argue about is, do we say we're going to pretend, it's like on virtually speaking, let's assume that the curve is actually etched out and square. And if it was etched out and squared off, then it would be chayv in a mezuzah, so you have to put on a mezuzah. Or do we say, no, you take it as it is. At the moment, it's not got the needed dimensions, and therefore you're not chayv to put mezuzah. The same would be here. When somebody throws something onto a wall, which the wall itself is ushus hayachid, but it landed inside a hole, the hole itself does not have the required Dalad Tfachim, the four Tfachim needed to be called Rishus Hayochid. Do we say that since if this area were to be expanded, if this hole were to be four Tfachim, it would be Rishus Hayochid, so now too we also look at it as a Rishus Hayochid? Or do we say no, since you need four Tfachim, this did not land in an area of four Tfachim, it landed in a little hole, and therefore it's not considered a Hanoch in Rishus Hayochid? And the Gemara says that these two discussions are dependent on each other. Let's see that inside. L'Rab Meir de Omar Chaykekin Lahashlim. According to Rab Meir, who says regarding the door with the mezuzah, Chaykekin, we pretend that we've etched out the doorway to have the full dimensions, and then it's mashlim, it completes the required four tefachim, the shiur. Mechayev, then he's going to be chayev here as well. It's, even though it's a small hole, we just pretend that it's four tefachim wide, and he's going to, it's called Hanoch in Rishus Hayochid. L'Rabbonon d'Omri ein Chaykekin Lahashlim. According to the Chachomim, the Rabbonon of Rab Meir, who say that we don't look at the doorway as if it has the full dimensions of 10 by 4. And at the moment, the doorway does not have the dimensions it's potter from mezuzah. Lo Mechayev, over here also, we're going to say that landing in a little hole in Rishus Hayochid is not landing on 4 tefachim, and therefore it's not called Hanoch in Rishus Hayochid. He's going to be potter. Tanya Nami Hochi, we saw a brisa to this effect. Zorak lemailo me'asor. If somebody throws something above 10 tefachim off the ground, v'holcho v'nocho b'choyer kolshu, and it landed in a hole, which a small hole, Rab Meir mechayev. Rab Meir says yochayev, it's called a hanocha, and this is congruent with Rab Meir's opinion we saw with mezuzah. V'chachomim poitrim. The Chachomim say it's not considered a hanocha, like the Chachomim of Rav Meir say that the doorway is not chayev with the mezuzah. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Omar Rav. Rabbi Yehuda Omar Rav said as follows: Tail hamislakeit, a mound that slowly accumulates. It's like a little hill going up, asara mitoich arba, which means that traveling a distance of 4 amos, it's accumulated 10 tefachim of height. Such a type of slope, such a type of angle, is what Rav Yehuda Omar Rav is talking about. If it took more than 4 amos to reach 10 tefachim, then the angle is less. And Rav Yehuda is talking about the angle is such that after 4 amos, it reached a height of 10 tefachim. V'zorach v'noch al gabov. He threw from Rishus HaRabim onto such a mound. Rav Yehuda Omar Rav says, chayev is chayev, since this is a type of angle which is quite a sharp angle. It's an angle which is not comfortable for the rabbim to walk up, and therefore it's considered a Rishus HaYochid. And if you throw something from Rishus HaRabim onto such a mound, it's considered carrying from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid and Chayev. Tanina Mihochi, we saw a brisa to this effect. Movui Sheshove Letoichoi V'naase Madroin L'Rishus HaRabim. If you have a Movui, which is obviously flat, and beyond it you have a Rishus HaRabim, but going down from the Movui to the Rishus HaRabim, you have a slope, and the slope has the same dimensions we just mentioned. It's a slope of traveling 4 amois and reaching a height of 10 tefachim. Oy shovel Rishus HaRabim v'nase madrein letoichoi. Or if the Movui, actually the entranceway of the Movui, was level with the Rishus HaRabim, and then there was a slope into the rest of the Movui with the degree, the angle that we just mentioned. We know that in order to be allowed to carry in a Movui which is a type of a cul-de-sac, a type of, we'll still discuss mavois later on, but in order to be able to carry there, you need to have a heker, a sign, to make sure that you don't chas v'shalom carry outside of it in the Rishus HaRabim. So one type of heker of recognition is a lechi, an upright pole on the side. Another one is a koira, is a string or a beam going across the top. Over here, says the Gemara, since you have this angled hill, this mound, it's as if it's got a wall there, and that's enough of a recognition. You do not need any further recognition. Reb Chanina ben Gamliel Oimer, Tel HaMislakit Asora, Mitoich Arba V'Zorak V'Nochal Gabov Chayev. Like we saw before, if you have this mound which accumulates 10 tfochim whilst moving with horizontal area of 4 amos, and you throw on top of it from Rishus HaRabim, it's called the Hanoche in Rishus HaYochid, and he's going to be Chayev. Continues the next Mishnah. Zorak letoich dalad amos. If somebody in Rishus HaRabim threw something and he intended it to land less than 4 amos away from him, v'nizgalgil chutz ledalad amos, and the wind caused it to roll, not on the ground, but in the air, it swirled in the air, and it got carried beyond 4 amos, potor is going to be potor, since the action he did would have only allowed it to land less than 4 amos, and it was just the wind that carried it another 2 amos, therefore he's potor. Chutz ledalad amos, if you wanted to throw something outside of 4 amos, which would then make you chayev, v'nizgalgil letoich dalad amos, and the wind swirled this item back towards you, and it then landed less than dalad amos away from you, nonetheless chayev, you're going to be chayev, and the Gemara is going to discuss this. Says the Gemara. The Gemara asks, v'ha loy noch, how can you say that if you intended to throw something 4 amos, the wind swirled it back and it landed less than dalad amos away from you, how can you be chayev? It didn't rest outside 4 amos. Omer Rav Yechanan says the Mishnah is talking about v'hu shenoch al gabei mashu. It's talking about that it did land somewhat. It landed on something, and Rashi says that it doesn't mean that it actually landed on a surface. It means that it got held by the wind. The wind held it in space for just a fleeting moment. Held it there. It's as if it landed. And therefore, even if it didn't actually land, if it landed, the halach is definitely understood. Even if it didn't land on a surface, but the wind held it and then pushed it back, it's called as if it landed, and it's a hanocha and he's chayev, and obviously we're talking about that it's within 3 tvachim off the ground. If it's not within 3 tvachim off the ground, then it will not be called a hanocha. Tanya nam yochi, we saw a brisa to this effect. Zorak chutz ledalad amos, if somebody threw something with the intentions of it going outside 4 amos, v'dochfosoy ruach v'chnisosoy, and the wind, whilst it was still in mid-air, the wind pushed it back into the area less than 4 amos away from him. V'afal pisha chozro v'itziosoy, even if afterwards the wind pushed it back out and it landed outside 4 amos, nonetheless, potur, he's going to be potur, because it got held in the wind, and therefore there was no hanocha after 4 amos. This that afterwards the wind pushed it out, that's already not a direct force of his. The wind did that, and therefore it will not make him chayev. Och zosa yaruach mashu, but however, this is what we're looking for. If the wind held this item just for a moment, afal pisha chozo v'chnisosa, even if afterwards the wind pushed it back in, back towards where he was, nonetheless chayev, he's going to be chayev, since it stopped for a moment, it's as if it was hanocha. And again, Rashi says before, we're talking about if it's less than 3 tvachim off the ground. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rava. Rava said the following halacha. Toich gimel. What's the status of something that lands in Rishus HaRabim? It does not land. It lands into the airspace of 3 tvachim above the ground. Do we say that since it's 3 tvachim, less than 3 tvachim off the ground, we say lovud, it's as if it's on the ground or not? So Rava said, L'Rabbonon, according to the Rabbonon that we saw on Daf Tzadik Vav Amud Aleph, that they do not say, Kluto k'mishahuncha, that being received in the airspace of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is as if it landed in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, according to him, Tzorich Hanocha Al Gabi Mashu. It actually has to land on a surface, and just being in the presence, in the airspace, even less than three tvachim, is not considered a Hanocha. Yosef Mareimuk Omer Lo Lahoshmaita. Mareimu was sitting, and he said over this quote from Rava. Omale Ravina Le Mareima. Ravina said to Mareima, Lav Hainu Masnisin, is that not exactly what we just learned in our Mishnah? That the Mishnah says that if you throw something outside of Dalad Amos and it rolls around, it swirls around in the wind, and the wind brings it back, and there we say, he's Chayev. V'omer Rabbi Yechonon, and Rabbi Yechonon explained, V'hu Shenoch Al Gabe Mashu. It must be that it actually rested on something, but not that it was just flying through space. Either it actually rested on something, or as we saw before, if the wind actually stopped it in space, it's called resting. But just flying over the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim space, even less than three tefachim, that would not be enough to make him chayev. Otherwise, Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't have said, V'hu shenoch al gabi mashu, has to rest on something. It would be enough if it's just within the airspace of three tefachim off the ground. So that was the question that Ravina asked Mareima, that it seems that what Rava is saying is exactly what it says in our Mishnah. Omar Le, Mizgalgul Ka'omras, are you comparing the case of the Rabbonon there, where somebody throws something and it lands within the airspace of three tfachim off the ground? You're comparing that to the whirling of the wind that we're talking about in our Mishnah. Mizgalgal ein seifo lenuach. In the case where something is thrown in the wind and it's swirling around in the wind, that's not considered seifo lenuach. There's no reason to believe that it's definitely going to land someplace. And therefore, over there, Rabbi Yechanan says it has to land, and only then it's a hanocha. Avalhai, but in the case of the Chachomim, where you throw something and it hasn't yet landed, but it's already reached the area within three tefachim off the ground, then over there, kiven de soifo lenuach, since it's clear that it's about to land, afal gav de loinoch, even though it's not yet landed, command de noch domi, over there, even Rabbi Yechanan may agree that it's considered as if it's already resting on the ground, kumash malon, and that's what Rava came to be mechadish to us, that no, even in a case where it's soifo lenuach, we know it's going to rest, nonetheless, according to the Rabbonon there, it actually has to rest, and it's not enough that it's in transit in the airspace within three tefachim off the ground. Now this halacha of, do we consider something within three tefachim off the ground, about to land, that we consider it as if it's landed, there are three different halachas that could make have a halachic ramification. One would be if somebody throws from one Rosh Hashanah Yochid to another Rosh Hashanah Yochid and it hovers over the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. There the question is, do we say that since it's within three tefachim of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it's as if it's already landed in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and not just landed in the Rosh Hashanah Yochid? That's one discussion which is dependent on this. Another discussion is, as we saw here, is if something gets thrown from one place in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to four Amos, and then the wind pulls it back. If we would say that within three tefachim is called a hanocha, it would be chayev. And there's one last halacha, is what happens if somebody is throwing something in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and just before the hanocha, it's already reached within three tefachim off the ground, and just before the hanocha, he remembers that he's not allowed to do this. He's now not anymore a shoygeg. He becomes aware that it's osa. And we have a rule, we're going to learn about it later, that you only chayev if the whole melacha was done b'shoigig, then you bring a chatos. If you were unaware for the entire duration of the melacha, then you bring a chatos. Over here, he became aware just before it landed. If we say that being in the three tefachim space above the ground is considered landed, then even though you remembered now before it actually landed, it's considered that you did the hanocha before you became aware. If, however, we don't say lovud, and we say it has to actually land, even if it's within the space less than three tefachim off the ground, it's not considered landed, then if he became aware that it's osa before it actually landed on the ground, he's not going to be chayev achatos. And Rashi speaks this out on Amud Aleph. Continues the next Mishnah. Hazoirik bayam. If somebody throws an item in the sea, he's in the sea, he's throwing something arba amos, potur, he's potur, because the sea is not considered a rishus hayochid. If it was, it wouldn't be a problem. It's not considered a rishus harabim. You're not allowed to throw dalad amos by rishus harabim. It's not considered a rishus harabim. It's considered a karmelis, and throwing something dalad amos in a karmelis is not chayev. V'im hoyo rekak maim. If there was, in the middle of Roshos HaRabim, there was a shallow pool of water. Roshos HaRabim Aleches Boy, and people are walking, are commonly striding through it. Hazoyrek L'toyche, if somebody throws from the Roshos HaRabim into it, Dalad Amis, and it traveled Dalad Amis, Chayev is Chayev, it's considered as part of the Roshos HaRabim, and not considered as an entity on its own. V'kama Hurakak Maim, how deep can this pool be that it's still called shallow enough that people would regularly walk through it and it's therefore still considered a Roshos HaRabim? Pochis me'asara tvachim, if it's less than 10 tvachim deep. And now the Mishnah again repeats, Rekak, that this shallow pool, Maim of water, Roshos HaRabim aleches boy, and the Roshos HaRabim stride through it, Hazoyrek b'toyche, if you throw into it, Dalad Amos, and the item travels for Amos, Chayev his Chayev. And here the Mishnah said this twice. Twice it's mentioned that if the Roshos HaRabim wade through it, even though it's a lowered area, it's got some depth, it's considered Roshos HaRabim. We have to see why it's mentioned twice. And not only that, not only that we're mentioning twice that an area that the Roshos HaRabim would stride through is considered Roshos HaRabim, in both cases the Mishnah speaks about a case which is a shallow pool. And not just a different case of where there's a sub-entity and the Roshos HaRabim are walking through it, that it's still considered Roshos HaRabim. We're going to have to see all that in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Omer le'ahu mirabonon Rava, one of the Chachomim said to Rava, Bishloim hiluch hiluch trei zimna. I can hoko mashmalon. I can understand why you have to say twice that if you have an area that's not really level with the Roshos HaRabim, but since the Roshos HaRabim wades through it, it's considered, still considered part of the Roshos HaRabim, we can understand why the Mishnah should want to say that twice. Number one, to teach us Hiluch Alideat Chak Shmei Hiluch. This is not a comfortable way of walking. You suddenly have to go down into a ditch, into a shallow, it's not so deep, but you have to go down. I may have thought that since it's not a comfortable way for the rabbim to walk through, it's called hiluch alidei adchak. I may have thought it's not considered part of the public throughway and does not have the status of the Roshos HaRabim. So that's why the Mishnah has to tell us that since Roshos HaRabim is mahaleches boy, it's considered Roshos HaRabim. That's why it says it once. And the second reason it says it is to tell us that tashmish alidei adchak lo ishmei tashmish. Any other usage, for example, if you have a type of pit which is shallow, it's not 10 tefachim deep, but people would possibly store, would protect their belongings there whilst they're going on their journey and come back later and fetch it, there we say no. If the rabbim walk through it, then we say that it's considered a Roshos HaRabim. But if the rabbim use it, since it's not a comfortable way for the Roshos HaRabim, they have to go down into this ditch to put their belongings, it's not considered a part of the Roshos HaRabim. And if you threw from the Roshos HaRabim into it, Dalad Amos, it would not be called that you were Mavir Dalad Amos for Roshos HaRabim, and you will not be Chayev. Elo Rekak Rekak Trei Zimna Lomoli. It would be enough to say that if you've got an area that the Roshos HaRabim uncomfortably but nonetheless stride through, it's considered Roshos HaRabim. Why do you have to speak about a shallow pool of water? Why was that necessary to twice mention the water? Says the Gemara, Chad b'moisa chamo v'chad b'moisa geshomim, to teach us that such a shallow pool is still considered a Roshos HaRabim, not only in the summer, also in the winter. Not only in the winter, also in the summer. And the Gemara is going to explain, Utsrichi, I need to tell you both. D'i tana choda, if it would only say one, if it would only once talk about a shallow pool in the Mishnah, I may have thought, Hava amina, hana mila b'moisa chamo, da'ov d'inchi d'maski la'kure nafshe. I might have thought that a shallow pool in the summer where everyone is hot and everyone appreciates getting a bit wet with some cold water, so therefore only in the summer the public will wade through it, and therefore it's considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. Avil b'moisag shomim, but in the winter, where people are not particularly desiring to have a bath in the Rishus HaRabim to cool down, it's cold enough as it is, loy, maybe then in the winter it's not considered a Rishus HaRabim. That's why the Mishnah says it once. V'yesh minon b'moisag shomim, and if it would only be talking about a pool in the winter, I may have thought, the kiven de mitanfi loy ichbeslu. I may have thought in the winter, where everybody's wet anyway from the rain and everyone is dirty and muddy, therefore they don't care what striding through some water. A little bit more mud won't make such a difference. Avul b'moisa chamo, but in the summer where people are dry, maybe the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim will not appreciate wading through this pool. Loy, and therefore we may have thought that in that case it's not considered the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Therefore, the Mishnah says it twice to tell us that both in the summer and in the winter, the Rabbim would wade through the water, and therefore it's considered a Rishus HaRabim, providing it's not 10 tefachim deep. Continues the Gemara. Abaye is giving another explanation for the repetitions in the Mishnah. Itzchach, sol kadai techamina, I may have thought, hanem melehecha deloy have a dalad amis. If you would only say it once, I may have thought that only a type of pool which is not 4 amos wide, then we say that it's considered the Rishus HaRabim, because the Rishus HaRabim will just walk through it, they won't bother going all the way around it. Aval heicha dehava arba amis, but when it's 4 amos wide, akufim makafile, then the Rabim will have more reason to just go make a bit of a detour and go round this pool, maybe they won't go in, and that's why the Mishnah says it twice to tell us that even if it's 4 amos wide, nonetheless the Rabbim would go through it. It's considered a Rishus HaRabim. Rav Ashi gives a third explanation. It's true. Sol kadai techamina, I may have thought hanem melehecha dehava dalad. I may have thought only when it's 4 tefachim wide, that's when people would go through it. It's called Rishus HaRabim. Aval heicha deloy avoy arba. I may have thought that if it's not 4 tefachim wide, mifsei posile, people will not go through it. They'll jump over it. They'll avoid it because it's 4 tefachim. Less than 4 tefachim is not very much. Jumping over it, and therefore I may have thought that the area inside it is not considered a Rishus HaRabim. That's why the Mishnah says that not only if it's 4 tefachim wide, even if it's less than 4 tefachim wide, it's still considered a Rishus HaRabim. The Rishus HaRabim would wade through it. V'ozda Rav Ashi letamei, this is something Rav Ashi has said elsewhere. The Omer Rav Ashi, Hayman de Zorik, if somebody threw an item in a Rishus HaRabim, v'noch aguda de gamlo, and it was a very wide bridge, and one of the slats of the bridge were not properly connected, and there will be those people that will avoid that slat for not wanting to slip, or for whatever reason. And nonetheless, Rav Ashi says that if something landed aguda de gamla on this plank, the loose plank on this bridge, and the bridge is a Rishus HaRabim, mechayev is going to be chayev sharei rabim boikim boy, because even though some people may avoid it, but the Rishus HaRabim will trample in it, they will not have a problem passing over it. And it's similar to what we said here, that a little ditch of water, which is just very short, it's less than 4 tefachim, nonetheless the Rabim would go through it, and it still retains the status of Rishus HaRabim. Continues the next Mishnah. Hazirik min hayom leyabosha, if somebody throws from the sea, which is a karmelis, leyabosha, to the land, which is a Rishus HaRabim, umin hayabosha, or from the land, which is a Rishus HaRabim, leyam, to the sea, which is a karmelis, umin hayom lesfina, or from the sea, which is a karmelis, onto a boat, which is a Rishus HaYochid, umin asfina leyam, or from a boat, which is a Rishus HaYochid, to a karmelis, to the sea, umin asfina lechaverta, or from one boat to the next, both being Rishus HaYochid, and they're both at sea, potter. You shouldn't do it, we'll see in the Gemara why, but nonetheless, potter, he's potter. The next case in the Mishnah, Sfina is Kshura is Zu Bazu. If there are ships that are actually tied to each other at sea, Metaltalin Mizulazu, you're allowed to carry from one ship to the next. Vim Einon Kshura is, if they're not tied to each other, Afal Pisha Mukofis, even though they are very closely near each other, ein metaltlin mizu lezu, one is not allowed to carry from one to the next, and we'll see in the Gemara why. Says the Gemara, Itmar, we learnt as follows. Sfina, if somebody is out at sea in a boat. Rav Huna Omar Moitzin Himeno Ziz Kolshu. What happens if it's Shabbos Kodesh and you want to drink some of the seawater? But the boat is a Rishus Hayochid, the sea is a Karamlis, you're not allowed to. It's also only Midrabonon, but you're not allowed to carry from the sea into Rishus Hayochid. How are you going to get your drinking water? Says Rav Huna that Moitzin Ziz Himeno Ziz Kolshu, as long as there's a little rod sticking out of the boat, you're allowed to then lower the bucket into the water and take it in. And we're going to soon see why that should work. He can fill up his cup or his bucket with water. Rav Huna v'Rabba bar Rav Huna, they said, Omri, oise mokim arbo, you should take a frame of four tfachim wide, a four tfachim by four tfachim square, and put it outside, hold it outside the boat, and then we consider as if the edges, the outer edges of this frame, it's as if they are going all the way down. It's called a mechitza tluya, even though we don't normally rely on mechitza tluya, but over here, over the water, we do allow him to rely on it. And then, since it's, we consider the edges of this frame as going down, and it's four tfachim wide, it's considered a reshus hayochid. And then you can lower a bucket into this frame, pulling out water from what's now considered a reshus hayochid, and take it into your boat, which is a reshus hayochid, and that's how you can get your drinking water. And the Gemara is going to explain. Rav Huna Omar Moitzi Emeno Ziz Kol Shehu Mamalei. Why should this rod protruding from the boat make any difference? He explains, Kosova Karmelis Me'ara Moshchinon. The sea is considered a Karmelis. But where's the real Karmelis? The real Karmelis is the base of the sea. It's the waterbed. The height of a Karmelis is only 10 tfachim, as we've seen in Rosh Hashanah. Above 10 tfachim, it's considered a Mokim Ptur. So here, the waterbed is way, way down. The boat is way above 10 tfachim off the floor at the bottom of the sea. So therefore, really, the water that you're taking from the place above the 10 tfachim, where you're taking the water from, is considered a Mokim Ptur. You're allowed to take water from the Mokim Ptur into your Rosh Hashanah. However, in order you should not get confused and think that you're allowed to carry lekatchila from every karmelis to Rishus Hayochid, so we want you to make some recognition. So take this rod, it should stick out whilst you're carrying the water, this rod will remind you. So that's what the Gemara says. Kosova karmelis me'ara moshchinon, we measure the height of a karmelis from the ground. The avira mokim pturhu, and then the airspace, or where the water is, above 10 tfachim, is called a mokim ptur. Ubedinhu, and the real truth is, the ziz nami lo liboy, you don't even need this rod. It's totally insignificant. Elo ki heicha de lehavulei hakeira, in order you should have a reminder not to otherwise carry from a karmelis to a shus hayachid, use this rod. Rav Chizda v'Rabba bar Rav Huna Amra, they say, oise mokim arbo, you should make this frame of four tfachim by four tfachim. Umamali, and then you can fill up the bucket through this frame. Kosovra, they hold, karmelis misfas maya mashkinon. The base of the karmelis is not the waterbed, it's actually the surface of the water. And therefore, you're dealing with an issue of taking water from a karmelis into a shus hayochid. That's also midrabonon. And so, the karmelis misfas maya mashkinon, maya aros michta, the reason that we assume that the top layer of the water is also a karmelis, even though it's much higher than the floor of the sea, is because we consider the whole water as just a thick land. The earth, kilu, is just got a lot of density, a lot of height, and up until the surface of the water is called the base of the karmelis. Iloy ovid mokim arbo, if you don't have an excluded area of 4x4 tfachim, kometaltalim mikarmelis to Rishus Hayochid. You're carrying from a karmelis into Rishus Hayochid, which is asa. Therefore, you make this frame and you're allowed to take the water from there. Continues the Gemara, Omale Rav Nachman le Rabba bar Avua. Rav Nachman asked Rabba bar Avua the following question on Rav Huna. Ulu Rav Huna, do Omar moitzi yemeno ziz kolshu. Rav Huna says that it's sufficient just to make a reminder, a little rod sticking out of the boat, and then you're allowed to carry the water, because he holds that the water that you're taking from is above the 10 tfachim, off the bed of the water, off the floor of the sea, and therefore you're taking from a mokim ptur into the sfina, and that's muta. L'Ravuna de Omar Moitzi Men Oziz Kol Shul Memali Zimnin Deleka Asora Vemekom Metaltil Mikarmelis L'Rushus Hayochid. He's asking, what's going to be if you're at sea and maybe the boat happens to be on an area which is less than 10 tvachim off the ground, and then you haven't got this frame making it into Rushus Hayochid, and you're going to draw water assuming or hoping that it's a Mokim Ptur, it's more than 10 tvachim off the ground, and it's not. And you'll end up carrying from the Karmelis within 10 tvachim off the floor of the sea into your Rushus Hayochid, into your boat. And that's Asa. Omar Le, so he said to him, Rabbi Bar Avuha explained to Rav Nachman as follows. Gomrinon, we take it for granted, the Ein Tzfinah Ma'aleches B'pochis Me'asara. Because of the height of the boats, no boat would ever go and be on sea on an area which is less than 10 tvachim off the ground of the sea. Asks the Gemara, V'hamursha Islay, you're right that the lowest part of the boat, the wide part of the boat, is never going to be less than 10 tvachim off the ground. Okay, or more accurately, the part of the boat which is parallel to the deep part of the boat, any part of the boat will not be within 10 tvachim off the ground. However, you've got the morsha, you've got a protrusion on the edge of the boat, you've got a rim sticking out, and it's just a ledge. You don't have the whole depth of the boat under that level. And over that hull, over that ridge, over there, a boat would have no problem going over even a shallow part. Even if there's a mound in the sea, you would go over it. It's not going to disturb the boat. And if you're going to go over the edge of this morsha, of this hull, of this protrusion of the boat, and you're going to take water from there, you'll have no problem doing it, even if there's less than 10 tvachim, and then you'll be carrying from a karmelis into a Rushus Hayochid. Omer of Safra said, Geshushe oz lekamo. There's somebody at the front of the boat that's always prodding into the depth of the waters to make sure not to get that close to part of the sea that doesn't have at least 10 tvachim depth. And therefore, there's no risk of any part of the boat being so close to the bottom of the sea. Omali Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Rav Chiya Bar Ovin. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok asked Rav Chiya Bar Ovin a question on Rav Chizda, L'Rav Chizda or L'Rabbi Bar Avuna, the Omra that they said, Oysa Mokim Arba, you should make a frame of four tvachim, and then it's considered as if the area under it is a Rushus Hayochid, Umamale, and through this frame you can fill up your bucket. Sheivchin Didei, they're assuming that the sea and the area just at the top level of water is considered a karmelis. As we said before, they assume that the whole water of the sea is just a very thickened and dense floor of the sea and is a karmelis. So we understand how you're going to take water out of the sea to drink. But what happens if you have wastewater that you want to pour into the sea? How are you going to do that on Shabbos? You're not allowed to carry from Rushus Hayochid into a karmelis. How is he going to throw out the wastewater? Are you going to say that you're going to pour it through this frame? It's going to be very repulsive that the same area, exactly the same point in the sea that you're drawing drinking water, you're going to throw the wastewater. A person won't do that. Says the Gemara, he pours it onto the wall, the actual wall, the top of the wall of the boat, and then it's going to just flow off and fall into the sea. Asks the Gemara, at the end of the day, it's his force. He poured the water onto the edge of the boat, onto the wall of the boat, and then as a continuation of his force, it's going to fall into the sea. And that's koichai, and it should be asa. Says the Gemara, koichai bekarmelis loy gozru. We'll still learn exactly where koichai is asur. But regarding a karmelis, we're not talking here about Rushus Harabim. We're talking about throwing out water from the Rushus Hayochid into a karmelis. There, if it's just koichai, you didn't do it directly. You didn't throw out the water straight into the karmelis. You put it onto the edge of the boat, and it's just koichai, consequent to the force of his pouring, it rolled off into the karmelis, into the sea. That we're okay with that. They were not geizel. Umino temra. Where do we know this from? Says the Gemara de Tanya. Sfino ein metaltelin loy mitoicho leyam v'loy minayam letoicho. You're not allowed to carry from a boat into the sea, from Rishus Hayochid into a Karmelis, and not from the sea into a boat, from the Karmelis into the Rishus Hayochid. Rabbi Yehuda says as follows, Amuka Asoro, if the boat is 10 tefachim deep, only then it's Rishus Hayochid. If it's less than 10 tefachim deep, it's not even Rishus Hayochid, you'll be allowed to carried to the Karmelis. It itself will be called a Karmelis. If the boat itself is 10 tefachim deep, it's considered a Rishus Hayochid. Ve'ein Gavoya Asoro, and it's not 10 tefachim off the surface of the water. If it's 10 tefachim off the surface of the water, then as we said before, then the area 10 tefachim above the water is not considered a Karmelis, it's considered a Mokim Ptur. And then you can throw something from the boat into the area above the Karmelis, which is a Mokim Ptur, and let it fall into the Karmelis. So we're talking about that there's less than 10 tefachim between the top of the boat and the level of the water, and therefore it's a Karmelis. Then metaltelin mitoicho leyam, you're allowed to carry from the boat into the sea, avaloi minayam letoicho, but you're not allowed to carry from the water, from the sea into the boat. Asks the Gemara, Maishno minayam letoicho deloi, why are you not allowed to lift up water, draw water from the sea into the boat, to komataltelin mikarmelis lushus hayochid, because you're taking water from the Karmelis into the Rishus Hayochid. Mitoicho leyam nami komataltelin mirishus hayochid lekarmelis. It should be equally osa to carry from the boat onto the sea, because you're not allowed to carry from Rishus Hayochid onto a Karmelis. Elolav, it must be talking about achuda. It must be talking about the rim of the boat. And so to take from the sea into the boat, there's no way of doing that. Because however you're going to take it, you're going to have to lift it off the Karmelis and bring it into your Rishus Hayochid. That's osa. But the other way around, from the boat to the Karmelis, there I've got a way of doing it. I can pour it onto the rim, onto this achuda, onto this chuda, which is similar to what we mentioned, the Daphna de Sfina we mentioned before. That's why this is proof to that Gemara. And then let it roll off into the sea. Ushmamina, we see from there, koichoi bekarmelis loigazru, that if it's going from Rishus Hayochid into a Karmelis, but not directly, it's just a continuation of the force that he started the pouring. Shema mina, we have proof from this brisa to what we said before, that if it's just koichoi, it's mutter on Shabbos. And Mirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.